Please turn with me to Psalm 4. Psalm 4b is our new Psalm of the Month. Psalm 4, starting with verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart his godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for your Son, who has died for us and whose righteousness we now stand. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells with us and in us. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to listen to you, to hear what you have said, and to apply it to our minds and our hearts and our lives. Please be glorified now as we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Consider when it is you call out. When you cry out for help. When do you cry out for rescue? It seems as if whenever I leave the house and I'm gone overnight, something happens. A bad thing happens. For a while it was that a bat would manifest in the house. And there was one evening in which Leslie was downstairs. The children had gone to bed. They were younger at that point. And she thought she saw something flitting around. And then before long, she noticed there was definitely a bat flying around. And terrible things are drawn to Leslie. If there is a snake, it will come to her. If there is a bat, it will come to her. She covered herself up in her afghan, and she shouted, and she called, and she called, and she called. And few of you, if any of you, have ever heard Leslie call out. You haven't heard her raise her voice. You haven't heard her shout. Yes, children, I know you have. But Nate is upstairs, and he thinks a murderer has come into the house because of the ways that Leslie is shouting. And he rushes to the rescue. He comes down the steps. All the blood had drained out of his face because he thought he was going to have to fight for his mother's life and for his life as well. When do you call out? When do you cry for help? We see here that the psalmist David has been put into this position where he's saying, answer me. Answer me when I call. Perhaps if you are like me, you have been in a situation where you're crying out to God and you're pleading for some response. And it feels as if you are shouting out into the darkness and no one hears. Perhaps, if you are like me, you've cried in your desperation, please, answer me. Show me any good. Show me that you are there. Here the psalmist, here David is in that position, and he's crying, answer me when I call. Please hear me. Say something. Well, we know that in our faith and our confidence isn't based on anything that we see now. We understand that faith is that assurance of things hoped for, that conviction of things that are not seen. We are the people who believe, even though we have not seen. And so what are we doing when we are not seeing? What are we doing when we're calling? But we're resting. We're waiting. We're being still. Because we know in whom we have believed. We know that He will preserve us. We know that He has left to prepare a place for us. And that He will come again. So the call for you tonight is call and rest. The first step is call with confidence. As David cries out, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness." We know David's faults. We know David's sins. We can look and see all the ways in which he fell short. He failed as a father. He failed as a husband. He failed as a king. And here David calls God the God of his righteousness. David understood that he was saved by grace, that his sins were forgiven, that they were wiped out, that they were washed away, and he was rescued in this place. He says, "After, O God of my righteousness, you have relieved me in my distress." But he goes on to say, "Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." The statement that you have relieved my distress, there is a confidence where he is. There is a certainty even though where he is. He believes even though there is a distress upon him, there is a threat continued upon him, he will be rescued. The large challenge in our life and what we are often doing in our lives is putting off our mortal and our temporary perspective where we cannot see into the future and accepting God's perspective that we are already rescued. We are already saved. We already have eternal life. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Romans 10:13 places that beautiful truth on us. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Are you in a place where you know you have to call out? Are you in the place where you understand there is only one rescue, and that is Christ Jesus, to have died for you and to come again? If you are in that place and you understand that, you can rightly say, along with David, "You have relieved my distress. I am already rescued. I am already saved." We see the posture that he has and the attitude that he has and how he understands this. He says, "Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." It's as if he has already heard the statement, "All those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." He understands this, and this is the word of the Holy Spirit. He is being carried along. There is a certainty in this as he speaks to God and says, "Hear my prayer. You have delivered me. You have rescued me." It's as if, as he's calling, God has already said, "I love you." And all David is saying at this point is, "I love you too." He has the certainty of God's love. And so do you. You who are calling on the name of the Lord, you already have the certainty of God's love. You're not saying, "I love you," and hoping that he says, "I love you too." We look at what Christ has done and we see he has already said, "I love you." He has already demonstrated it. And everything that we do, every prayer that we pray, every obedience that we give, every confidence that we have is simply you saying, and I love you too. You are worthy. You have shown full love. And I have full confidence in your love. I have full confidence in your grace. This brings us to that place where Christ is that picture of the perfect husband, and we as the church are that picture of the bride. I love you, he says. And we get to say, I love you too, with our confidence. We live in the midst of the fulfillment of the greatest love story that has ever been. So we call with confidence. Our next step, number two, is keep an eye on the common sins of man. Verse 2, O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? I think Hosea is the great picture of this. Hosea, the prophet who was told to go and marry a prostitute and have children with the prostitute. It was as if God was saying at that point, now you'll understand how I feel in the way that the church has interacted with me. How long will my honor be a reproach? The faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of Christ is mocked and laughed at. David's great crime with Bathsheba, it was described to him that the real problem was you have given the enemies of the Lord the opportunity to blaspheme the name of the Lord. So we look at ourselves and we challenge ourselves to honor Christ and to give Christ the honor that he deserves. And as we saw in John chapter 14, as we are obeying him, we are saying, I love you. As you honor your father and mother, you are saying, I love you. As you bring your children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, you are saying, I love you. As you're laying your life down for your brothers or your sisters, you are saying, I love you. As you're giving Christ his worship morning and evening, you are saying, I love you, when you are giving him his honor. As we deal with our own hearts and as we deal with our own minds, as we are tempted and as we naturally skew and pervert eternal truth, as we submit ourselves to the Word, as we change our thinking, taking every thought captive, we are saying, I love you. As we are in this blessed place, as we love God in the ways that he has said, as we love man in the ways that he has said. Our next step, number three, is take heart in redemption. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. In what sense has God set apart the godly man for himself? Can we take this and can we apply it to Christ? Can we apply it to Christ and see Christ as the Holy One? We see that, saw that last verse in John chapter 14, that Jesus did everything that the Father had told him to do so that the world would know that he loved the Father. Christ is that holy and perfect one that God has set apart for himself. And you and I are in that place. You and I are in Christ and in his righteousness. Here's the godly man that you are. Romans 3, 21 through 24. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. You who are in Christ also are godly. You who are in Christ also are holy. You who are in Christ, there is a righteousness that has been given to you, not based on you keeping the law, but a righteousness based solely on faith. That is, the belief in things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And this faith, it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Could you be in a better place? Could you be more loved? Could you be more saved? No. You are so saved. How blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered, the one that the Lord has brought near to Himself. This is the beautiful place into which you have been put. In Christ Jesus, you are the godly man that God has set apart for Himself. And in this place, there in verse 3, David then says, "The Lord hears when I call to Him." The Lord hears. You are in the same place. The Lord hears. The Lord hears when you call upon Him. So it brings us to a place of delight and a place of worship. Psalm 34, 4 through 6. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Christ did shine in such a way, and He will shine in such a way. And as you are in Christ Jesus, you too will shine in such a way as you are walking in Him. Now this brings us to our fourth step. And this is to that beautiful rest. Step number 4 is rest in the Lord. Verse 4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. If we look in Ephesians how Paul quotes this verse, he says, be angry and do not sin. The way that the Hebrew language and the Hebrews dealt with emotion, to read it, it's strange. There's always some reference to the anatomy, something about someone's nose or something about someone's loins going on. Here, this tremble we look at, there's a vibration. We could take it and we could think of it as this shaking in us when we have great feeling and great emotion. There's so much emotion tied into this. It can be an anger, and it can be expressed that way. I would say it could also be a grief. It can be a fear. But being moved deeply in your innermost being, there is room for that, and there is an expectation for that in your Christian life, that you will be being deeply moved, affected, and impacted. And in that place, there will be a work taking place in our lives where we are directing our minds and we are directing our hearts. And we are constantly in that place where we will be directing our minds and directing our hearts in this place of deep emotion. Christ in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, He speaks to us in our deep emotion, or in our anger and our deep feeling and our fears and in our frustrations. He says, come to Me. Come to Me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. When do I get angry? I get angry when I'm wore out. I get angry when I'm doing too many things. I get angry if I've run too far and I still have too much to do. That's when I get angry. Come to Me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's confused me a bit. I mean, he's God, and so you wonder about his yoke and what he's bearing. We look at the life of Christ and see what he bore, and we wouldn't say, oh, that was easy, right? But can you think of being more unequally yoked than God and you? If you put on a yoke with God, who's doing the work? If you put on the yoke with God, who's bearing the burden? But him. And it's not too much for him. It's not too hard for him. When you are coming to him, when you are trusting in him, when you are meditating in your heart upon your bed, and you can say to yourself, be still. You've called. He has heard. He hears you. He will answer. God has set apart the godly man for himself, and he will answer when he calls. And you are in Christ Jesus if you are calling on him. And he cannot deny himself. Call upon the Lord with confidence. Rest in him. Come to him, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you that you have not left us as orphans, but you have sent your Holy Spirit, that you have spoken to us by your word and by your Spirit. Thank you that we can stand in a place of confidence and stand in a place of hope because of your righteous one that you have set apart for yourself. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us hearts to call upon you. And we pray that you will be glorified as we meditate in our hearts upon our beds, as we direct our own hearts, as we call on you with full confidence that you will answer. Thank you for your great love in Christ Jesus. Thank you for our hope. Thank you for our redemption. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll close with our Psalm of the Month, 4b.